PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, everyone, to a brand new episode of Off Course. I am your host, Dan Edwards, and with me this week is Mr. Austin Tudor from Callaway Golf. How are you, my friend?
Dan, it's great to be here. It's been a long time since you and I have talked, and excited to be here. I don't know if you can see on screen, but I'm proudly wielding my my granddaddy mug from the granddaddy this past year, my first one. So excited to be with my boy Canada, and it's been a while.
It has, man. I thought you were just flexing with that mug, being that I didn't get one. Still waiting for that to show up in the mail. So no, that's cool. You got to experience a granddaddy for yourself, and obviously making a big transition to Callaway Golf here in the last little bit. It seems like you're settling in pretty well. How are you enjoying the Callaway experience so far?
Dan, it's great. And, you know, not to be a company man, but when you walk in and you see signs that are one team, one Callaway, and then you actually get to work people that kind of bleed that blood, that's incredible to me. We're all part of the same team. You know, in my category, we've had some room for growth as they, part of the reason why they've brought me into the fold and into the company to help grow the performance gear, aka soft goods category. And I've seen nothing but love from our team, even though we're still in these COVID times where we're trying to figure life out and that work-life balance when you're at home. It seems like everybody's just fully on board and committed to the same commitment that we have on the performance gear side to grow this category, to make better products and let people know about these great products we're making. So really enjoying my time so far. I'm just under a year. I started back in May. Yeah, it's been phenomenal.
So there's no secret that the golf industry has a lot of transition. People like to try different things and support various brands throughout their careers, it seems, which also gives you an opportunity to experience the different styles that companies have. Now, I do want to dig into your past a little bit to say that you were with Titleist for a time, and then you transitioned to Fujikura, and now you're with Callaway. Have I hit all the companies that we need to know about from your golf history? And to cap on that, how different is the identity of each company when you go into work? Is it a totally different experience depending on where you are?
That's a great question, Dan. And I've actually got to give a shout out to my friends in Mizuno. I grew up in Atlanta, and Norcross, Georgia was one of the places that I was working in for Mizuno for a time. Shout out to my boy Vachal and Scott Schubert and Jeff Crawford, you know, some great people there. And I'll give you a brief history as to why I was there. And then I went over to the West Coast. So back in my early days of, or my late days of college, I had an internship with Titleist, and I got a taste of the West Coast and knew this is where I wanted to be. But graduated college, there weren't any openings at the time. So I went to Mizuno. You know, let's continue to try to push down this path. I've always wanted to work in product marketing for a large OEM, and got my beak wet with them and consumer support. And then a few months later, Titleist called back and said, "Hey, we've got an opening for you." And the guys at Mizuno were fantastic. They knew that I had gotten a taste of the West Coast, and I wanted to be out here for as long as possible, if not life. So made the move and spent a nice 7.5 years with Titleist, starting from customer service. You know, seems like where you cut your teeth with any of these companies, and made my way into the marketing towards the end for about four years there. Worked for some great guys, Chris McGinley, Josh Taugi, and then went over to Fujikura and was the marketing manager there. Worked with Eric Recker and Dave Schneider and that whole team. Created some great products while I was there. And then our boy Yodi Neves gave me a call in February of last year and said, "Hey, I've got this interesting position and I want you to take a look at it." And at the time it was kind of product manager for irons, hybrids and performance gear, what we call soft goods internally, but performance gear is the category that we're kind of rebranding. And said, "This is a, I think this has you all over it." And who went through the process and had a great time with the process. And then here we are 8 months, 9 months later with Callaway. And in terms of talking about kind of internal dynamics, there's great people at every place that you work at. There's golfers at every place that you work at. And everybody wants to make great stuff. And it's finding that balance of exactly what you want. And like you said, I've landed at Callaway and I've absolutely enjoyed my time here so far. And the team atmosphere has definitely been second to none in terms of what I've seen. And just loving life right now. You know, you kind of know, but we've got a new baby on board and a 3-year-old, and we're working from home. So we're balancing a whole lot, but we're having a great time doing it and trying to get some golf in at some point.
Yeah. I've heard the best way to have kids or best way to play golf is number one, to get in the golf industry, and number two, to have children. So you're kind of knocking it out of the park there, but it sounds like you and young Henry, your 3-year-old, are playing a little golf. You're sneaking out of bed.
Yeah. We try to get out to, it's kind of a local legendary place, the Goat Hill Park. They have a little 3-hole course that I think Xander Schauffele helped kind of implement and put in alongside Ashworth and that whole team. It's like 30 yards the first hole, like 20 yards the second hole, and like 50 third hole. And we'll take his little junior set out there. And, you know, over the past couple of years, I know he's only 3.5, but he's just always been drawn to it. And being a guy that works in the industry, the last thing I want to do is push him too hard towards it. So I kind of let him tell me when we were going to play. And then I'm all about it. You know, obviously I'm not saying we've got to go to the range, we've got to do this. It's you tell me when you're ready to go. But yeah, we go out there and I've seen him go from hitting driver off the first tee to hitting an iron now. And it's pretty cool to watch his growth in the game and his love for the green grow. And then we always cap it off with some range nuggets at the end of the day. And it's like semi-automatic rifle out there whenever he's hitting. I mean, it's just as fast as possible. Let's grind through this bucket and go. But he's the one that wants to do it. So we go out there and we have a good time with it.
So I've got two follow-up questions for that. Number one, how much feedback does Henry get into the branding and design features of Callaway products right now? And secondary, how often does he get to test prototype stuff? Because everyone out there wants to be jealous.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've got to get a little bit older in terms of testing stuff.
Yeah.
Because right now we're still trying to figure out the swing. He's got the hockey handle on it right now.
Good for him.
Familiar with. Yeah.
Commit to that, man.
he's got it going hard, and he does not let he doesn't know what being delicate around or gentle around the green is yet. So
okay.
He's got a little bit of time before we start throwing some protos in his hands. I'm sure the Neville Nation over there probably are a little bit more in tune with prototyping at this point. They're a little bit older, a little bit more legends in the game, the junior golf game. So I'm sure that they're probably getting the Rogue Minis and things like that over there. Not that that exists. I'm not breaking any news here.
You heard it here first, as always, in the Off Course podcast. You know, it's funny. I watched the event a few weeks back with the golfers and their kids or parents, and you see young Tiger Jr. out there with one of his dad's backup putters, which, you know, if you aren't familiar, one of them just sold at auction for like $400,000. So this kid's rocking this, you know, arguably $400,000 putter, like it's no big deal. And it's a pretty fun reminder of how wild it can be, either just being around golf or, you know, people who have that connect there. So I'm excited to hear these stories as the years go by with Henry and how his game progresses. If he commits to golf, I'm doing the same thing with my son. He's pretending like he likes basketball and baseball, but I know that's all nonsense and it's going to be golf forward from this point on, I think. So,
yeah, I think the biggest thing we can all do as dads is just to let them be them and let them show us what they want to do, because their passion is going to come through. And it's important to have that passion and not just go out there and feel like it's a job at 7 years old. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's where they're really going to shine is being able to grow up with the game and loving the game versus going out there and feeling like it's work and they hate it at the end of the day.
So here's the big question. Are you Are you damaging his future by making him play left-handed as you are, or are you letting him swing righty?
He came out of the womb very right-handed.
Yes, my boy.
I appreciate it, though. Being left-handed, it's a lot easier for me to mirror something, you know, down the road when we get to the point of doing swing stuff. Because right now I'm just hit it as hard as you can, bud. Because from what I've heard is there's these fine fast twitch muscles in your hands and your arms. So if you get them swinging really fast at an early age and not worrying about where it goes or technique, it's going to help them in the long run. So that's kind of what I've just been doing. Just hey, hit it as hard as you can and go in that direction. But I think it's going to be down the road, be really fun where we can kind of mirror each other. He stands in front of me. I can kind of watch him and I can say, hey, do like this. Make sure you don't get on your toes like your dad, but get through it a little bit more.
And when dad gets mad at that shot, don't react to that either. You just pretend that didn't happen.
Exactly.
So I got to say, the Callaway group is starting to collect lefties. Is this like a fill mandate where people are required to be left-handed to join the team there?
I think they're just figuring out that lefties
careful
have a lot to bring to the table.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what you're doing at Callaway, because there are some big things coming up. I know there's going to be a release but after we record, but before it goes live, so you have the freedom to speak openly about that. I would say I see some golf bags. Is that the focus right now? You're redefining what Callaway golf bags look like?
We're having a great time doing it, and I can't credit for much of it being so new. I don't know how many people know the cycles of this type of thing, but you know, Dan, just to give you perspective, we've already baked 23, and next month we start working on 2024. So this is the handiwork of our great team, and you know, Brian Lucas, who's our new senior director of performance gear, and Sean Hargraves, our bag designer. There's a great team that's already kind of put this in together. We've got some great technology to share with the team as well. If you watch any of the Granddaddy and you saw the Lowrider Challenge, we'll get into the Lowrider Challenge a little bit, and that technology and why it's going to rule the pushcart world at some point. But yeah, so we're talking performance gear, we're talking bags, we're talking hats and gloves and all that good stuff. So it's kind of cool being a guy that's been on the club side for so long and then went into golf shafts and now working on this type of product. It's such a different game. It allows me to grow and be more knowledgeable about, you know, kind of the wide realm of products that we have.
So what he's speaking about here, if any of you didn't follow the Granddaddy, is a number of guys went out to Callaway headquarters and got fit for a bunch of clubs and then went out and played Team Callaway, including Austin here. And in an attempt to sabotage, they made sure it rained that day and then had people run around trying to do an obstacle course. So there was a little bit of gamesmanship there, I think, when they found out that rain was in the forecast. But it sounds like everyone survived, which is great. Break down Lowrider tech for people, because I don't think it's super familiar at all. So
which is awesome for us, right? There's nothing out there like it. That's why it's not super familiar. I'll kind of show a couple of bags here. The blue and red bag behind me is our Fairway 14, and this is our Fairway Plus. We've got a whole new Fairway family coming out that is hitting retail, and it's also going live on 2/1. So it's as you listen, you can go and check these bags out. We've got some great video content for you to check out with those. Some great animations coming. Just great detail on what we did, why we did it. So let's get to the why. We all know using a push cart can be troublesome at times with a conventional bag. And the reason I say that is those conventional bags, and I'll show you, I brought in a Fairway C and I have a Fairway Plus. So the conventional bag, the legs go all the way to the top, right? The top cuff. With Fairway Plus and Fairway 14, we've included the Lowrider technology with the rubber overmold grips here. We've dropped the legs down. So when it falls onto a push cart, it is just cradled in there. And when we went through that Lowrider challenge, that's why I brought it up. It was wet. It was not an attempt to sabotage. It was not an attempt to sabotage anybody. But we had them run with the push cart, 14 clubs, a handful of balls, just like they would be out on the course with the lowrider fairway plus, just to show them the capabilities of this bag and how stable it is, whether you're running like you're on an F1 track, on wet cement, in your quaders, maybe falling into a bush. I'm going to go off record with that one. But
Neil.
Yep, Thor. X-Thor. So the whole goal was just to show how stable that bag can be. So even though the bag tipped over, came back up, boom, it still stayed in its place. That's the biggest thing when it comes to lowrider, is the stability it offers compared to your conventional sandbag. It is a patented technology that we have, which is super exciting. So we started developing this, Dan. Let me give you a little background. Long before the days of COVID and the days of the push carts being sold out and no one being able to find anything anywhere. However, based on COVID times, it took a lot longer to get samples and things like that. So we were just close to pressing go on launching these in 21, but we had some samples that we had to get in and make sure everything was good. So we held this off to 22. And now there's a bazillion people using golf cart or push carts out there that need to find some low rider love in their lives and kind of experience that tech. It's a fantastic lineup of bags, and I can't wait to put it in play. I've got mine coming right now. Got a little something special coming up. You know, when you work in the category, you got to work on that. So,
okay.
But I can't wait to have mine, and rep the Fairway Plus, because the beauty of it too, Dan, is especially with Fairway Plus, 4 pounds, same amount of pockets, same amount of, dividers, everything as a fairway. So you could walk with this bag, you can ride with this bag, and then ultimately why we designed it, you can push with this bag as well. The other really cool part is the quick clips that we've put onto this. So you can pop the straps off real quick, throw them in the pocket, throw them in the trunk, and then you've got access when this thing's on a push cart to every single pocket, no problem.
Okay.
And then you can just pop those right back on if you want to walk that day.
So low rider, by and large, is effectively dropping the legs down from the point of entry into the top of the golf bag. And I would assume the reason why that hinge has always been there is because it's one of the more durable portions of the bag. So everyone was probably leaning on that to make sure that durability was a primary focus on a stand bag. Because let's be honest, we beat up our stand bags when we walk. It's not like we gently place them down, especially if we've just bladed a wedge over the green. That thing gets sent. So durability, yeah, as we laugh, you're laughing like you've never done it here, Austin. Don't lie to me.
So, I was just visualizing.
Yeah. So it looks like with the added material that you've used there, you've definitely focused on making sure that durability is not crippled or not considered when it comes to this style of product. Was that challenging for you guys to maintain that durability?
You know, it's also challenging, Dan. Yes, of course. Anytime you do something new, you've got to test it. You've got to validate it. You've got to make sure that it works. It's very similar material to what we're using. It's the exact same material that we use in the other cups. It's just been dropped. And then to re-support and to add additional support and stability, we added these rubber blocks in. They've got like a grip to them. I don't know if you're listening, you can't see it at all. But yeah, they've got a nice little grip to them. So when that thing goes into the cradle of the push cart, it's just like a gentle hug, and it's adding that friction and stability in there to make sure the bag stays in place.
That's awesome. It's a great concept. And when you add in that type of material there, yeah, I mean, the first thing I would say is, why is it all plastic? But then of course it's not. So I don't have that to worry about. It's very well thought out. And I'm curious about this, Austin, because I just finished. I'm not entirely sold on being finished my bag search for 2022. And I think the one thing I couldn't decide on was whether I wanted to go really flashy, or as I now like to call it, spicy, or whether I wanted to go that nice, elegant, you know, sleek line, chill colors, like a gray or a white kind of thing. And I went spicy, and I'm not totally sure on it, but it seems like Callaway has a more identity of like this presentable, non-crazy, very structured visuals. Is that fair to say that that is the identity of the Callaway Golf Bag?
I think to a certain extent, Dan. I mean, the ultimate goal is for us to find something that fits, you know, because we are a much larger company. Our goal is to find products that fit a lot of people. You know, we've found through statistical research the highest selling bags are, you can guess the same thing, because look at what we're wearing: black, charcoal, and navy.
Yeah.
Right. So we understand what the market's asking for. We build off of that as well. But we also, we like to dip our toe in some crazy things, and especially with the new team that we're building, we're going to give ourselves the option to do so. We've got some new designers coming in house. We've got some new product managers in house. So we've kind of rebuilt this team to both make it succeed and create new products and have some new ideas and, you know, offer some different concepts than just your standard up the gut stuff. Right. So give us some time on that. But we're going to do it the Callaway way. We're going to do it the right way, where the quality is there. We want to make sure performance works, technology works. And then if we can personalize it even further, yeah, absolutely.
So that's a really polite way of saying I jumped the gun, and I appreciate you doing that.
No, not at all. No, it's fun. Like, we have all of these meetings about colors, and I'll give you guys a little bit of insight, especially because we've just baked off 23, but it's a lot of it is backed by data and research, but it's also backed by kind of us being the experts and trusting our instincts as well, and how they line up with the consumer research that we do and the listening that we do to create these different colorways and things like that. You know, I would have never have thought, but this bag sitting next to me has the goldenrod top. It's a charcoal with black. This is one of our number one colorways in Fairway Plus. And it has just been an absolute home run. Never would have thought that. I would have thought probably the red and navy, you know, that color option would be kind of the up the gut standard number one.
But we got some boys on THP who are Miami Vice through and through. They want that that hot pink and like a radical or electric blue. When's that coming?
Like I said, give us time.
Yeah. My custom Callaway bags. You heard it here first, 2023.
I mean, that's the ultimate goal, right? To sure. Make it to where we can personalize anything for anyone. We'll get there at some point. It's going to take time. It'll cost you more money simply because it's a one of one product at that point, right? So when that time comes, yeah, it's going to be a little more expensive, but you can personalize to every detail you want.
I think it should be pay to play. The more ridiculous it gets, the more you guys charge. So if you have like the basic colors, you're like, yeah, okay, I can see that. But if you have like really clashy colors, you charge the crap out of people and see if they're still willing to do it. There's your market research.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the other fun thing we do is we listen to like, we do a lot of research on the color of the year. Like, what's that going to be? And how do we integrate that? And, you know, based on all of these brands having this similar feel, this is what the color of the year is going to be for 23 or 24 or whatever. And to touch in a little bit about our sister brands with Wolfskin and with Travis and, you know, OGO, Topgolf, we have some great resources in like the fashion business when it comes to Wolfskin, Jack Wolfskin, being able to talk to them about colors and what they're doing. And the same thing with Travis. And then how can we all use this research and data to create products that consumers want and they can identify with? Because this piece of equipment, the golf bag, is both a piece of equipment as well as an identity piece, right? So it's how I identify myself when I put it on a bag stand. There's my bag, you know? And we're finding more and more that people want to identify further and further, and we're tracking to do that as well.
Nice. So what is the color of 2022 then for us non-knowers?
It's like a royal blue this for 2022. 2023 is like, I can't remember what it's called. It's like a seafoam kind of a sage kind of color. So it's a really cool color.
How do you land on that? How do you possibly figure that out, that a year from now people are going to be into seafoam?
Well, that's the thing. Like, we let the we pay people the big bucks that are even further, that they basically say this is the color of the year based off all this research, these brands speaking and brand listening. This is the color of the year. So anybody can go on and look up the color of the year right now.
So tell me this, from all the additional brands, more specifically the clothing lines like Quater, Trav, that kind of group, is there anything that as soon as you transition to Callaway, you're like, I need all of this in my life? And for me, it's Travis Matthew 100% of the time. You know, the right on time pants are a celebration of my experience. I had the cold shoulder vest on this morning, freezing in Ohio with the snow coming down. So, you know, surely you looked at that and you're like, this is a gold mine that I haven't tackled yet and I need to.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, the Travis stuff is fantastic. We have a great Callaway apparel line. I'm wearing that as well. I've got the Travis, I think this is called the Fink on.
Okay.
I wear the open to close pants. I've got the Quater shoes on. You know, I bought a couple pairs of Quater underwear, which is highly underrated.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Underwear that's underrated. I'll tell you that much.
Underrated. They should call it a line, the underrated line. That's great.
Yeah.
That sounds very Quater.
That's why I'm in marketing.
Yeah, for sure. So do you have other things going on outside of bags, soft goods, right? That's primarily the focus for you. So are we talking like hats or what?
Yeah. So we under kind of my domain, my silo, we handle, gloves, headwear, accessories, travel gear, basically that anything that's not a ball or a club that has a Callaway logo is coming from our team. And at one point we called it soft goods because that was the category. But since Brian Lucas has come on, we've kind of re-identified ourselves as the performance gear team internally. And it's almost like a bad word if you say soft goods to me nowadays.
Sorry, especially my bad.
On the marketing side of things, if somebody were to say it, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, performance good or performance gear. No, we just wanted to re-identify and say, you know, soft goods sounds soft, right? This is performance gear. This is that golf bag is just as important as a wedge, right? It's got to hold the right amount of stuff for you. It has to be durable. It has to live up to the name. It's a piece of equipment just the same as your wedge. And we wanted to make sure people understood that this is performance gear and a performance equipment that we're creating. And yeah, so long-winded answer of saying, yes, I also handle headwear, gloves, accessories, travel gear, umbrellas, ball markers, you name it.
Wow. That's it's quite the umbrella you got there.
Pun intended.
Yeah. I figured I was waiting for it. Come on, give it to me. So
I'm a dad of two now, Dan. I gotta throw my dad jokes out.
Yeah, you gotta dial that up in a big way here in about 4 or 5 years. So Callaway as a whole, what's your bag look like? Because this is a pretty incredible couple of years that Callaway's been having between the products they're releasing that are both unique and I would say world-class at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a pretty solid lineup. You know, I was fortunate to play back in July in the the San Diego City-Am and played pretty decent in that. And that was 2 months in of having all new equipment, and I think I shot like 73, 79 or something like that, which cool. 79 was on Torrey South. So give me a little bit of break there. especially being a dad that had a new job and wasn't playing much golf with 14 new clubs and a new ball. But yeah, we start with the top, and I've got the new Rogue ST Max LS in that. Loving that driver. I was hitting the Epic Speed or the Epic Max LS right before that. And There's something about the shape. There's something about the forgiveness that I'd much rather have than, you know, a lot of these guys are trying to go towards triple diamond and things like that. I'm like, give me the biggest thing that I can swing when it comes to the driver. I don't play enough golf, and I've never been that accurate with the big sticks. So I can hit it a good, a decent ways, but sometimes it's a decent ways right and left too. So it's important for me to try to keep it down the middle. So I'm going to max out my forgiveness whenever I can and let that thing soar. And then,
Are you a fairway guy? Is that a thing? Are you about to drop a fairway on me? Cause we don't talk about fairways on this show.
Is that like, we don't talk about Bruno? Is that what that's like or what?
No, go ahead. I had a chat with Veriska a couple weeks ago and he's giving me grief saying that you guys have one of the best fairways ever this year. And it also happens to be a year where I've sworn off fairways in lieu of the epic super hybrid at like 15 degrees. So, whoops.
Yes, it's all good. I have not had a chance to hit the rogue yet.
Okay.
Like I told you, I haven't played since before New Year's with this new baby. So excited to get that out. But I've had the epic speed in 15 degree for a long time, and it's a whipping stick. And if that driver gets a little left or right, I know I can rely on that. And then it's a great segue into the 21 degree UT that I have. It's a phenomenal, phenomenal product. I put the Ventus HB shaft in there from my old Fuji days. Shout out to them, and put that in there. And that thing, I can swing as hard as I want. It goes dead straight. And that face stays so stable, and so much forgiveness within that utility. So it's another one of those pieces. It's like, are we really trying to like hit this thing right down the middle? Because if so, then we're going to hit the UT. If we need to get a little more distance, you know what I mean? And we've got a decent chance of hitting the middle, then we go up to the fairway. So,
okay. So then we move into TCBs or what?
No, I'm with the, I have the X-Forged and the 4 and 5 iron. Yeah.
Yes, my guy.
I haven't made it to the TCBs yet, and then I'm going to kind of shock the world and say that 6 to pitch are all Apex MBs. So the straight blades on those. Yeah.
You're a stud. We all knew that.
There's something about the turf interaction, man. But as the rounds continue to decrease per year for me, the TCBs are going to definitely enter the chat. And we're going to get them in the bag at some point. Got to talk to my boy Johnny Wonder or my boy D Nevs and get that going.
Yeah, I'm on Team X-Forge CB 100% of the time. So good for you. I'm proud of you. Stay strong, my friend.
Yeah. And then we've got some Jaws wedges down at the bottom. And I just switched over to the double wide Tri-Hot 5K. Speaking of stability, holy cow. That thing's
the low rider of
putters.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, anything that gets Luke Williams talking about a blade is obviously a good product. So,
no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. No, I had the 7S White Hot OG before that.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm playing Stroke Lab in both.
So you're redefining. Callaway's effectively redefining the putter game because everyone was going mallet. Everyone thought it was the only thing they could do, with the exception of me, who tried and failed miserably. So, yeah, I mean, there's obviously something about this 5K because that's what everyone's doing.
A lot of stability, man. I mean, Thule knows what he's doing. Sean Thulon knows what he's doing. Patrick knows what he's doing. Luke knows what he's doing. They've been doing this a long time. And they're continuing to reinvigorate this part of the brand where you have a lot of marriage with product in terms of people holding on to, you know, their putters for a long time. And at the same time, you've got a lot of people that just they go through it. You know, what's the flavor of the week? So it's just anytime you can come up with a cool innovation like Tri-Hot 5K, it's always going to be kind of that buzz. It's going to create that buzz. And especially when it's validated, you know.
OK, well, tell me what your favorite golf experience has been in your life and why is it playing with me at Aviara?
That's a great question.
You can exclude that one. It's fine.
There's a lot, Dan. It's hard to put it to one because I've always kind of lived it here. I'll tell you, okay. I've lived and breathed this game for all my life. So I can say the first time that I broke 90 with my dad at Lake Spivey Golf Club, I could say when I packed my car to come out to California to work in the business, right? There's so many different levels of the passion that go into the game for me. The first time that I get to tee it up with my son, right? There's so many different levels to it. The first time I played up in Monterey at Spyglass.
Okay.
Right. The first time I played in the Granddaddy. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to put it down to one thing when I've been blessed and honored with so many different experiences that this game's given me.
You know, I noticed you said first time you broke 90 with your dad, but it wasn't the first time you beat your dad, which is very different for me because all I ever wanted to do was just beat him. And now it's not too challenging. And he'll probably not like that comment, but you know, was there ever a dynamic there? Were you competitive with your father? Or was it always a team?
Okay. It was always a big time deal, you know? And I think that's what kind of created that passion even more and wanting to play better is like, when's that day that I'm going to beat him?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it was the time that I shot like 82 and he shot 83 and he had a terrible day or something like that.
Okay.
But I think I was probably, I don't know, eighth grade or something like that, ninth grade. Mm-hmm. And that was a big deal, you know.
I bet he loved playing bad and having to put up with you all in the same day. I've always told my boys around here, and maybe you feel the same, beating me is one thing. Beating me when I'm playing well is another.
Yes. Yes. That's so true. Yeah. I've got a brother-in-law that he's a decent player and got a 7 handicap. And there was one day that I was just hitting it all over the yard and he was striping. I think he was like 2 over and he was so pumped and he ended up beating me by 1 that day. And I was like, yeah, he even looked at me and said, I got you at your worst. I got you at your worst.
Good for him.
He said, yeah.
That's the kind of person you want to golf with, because the last thing you want to do, because everyone knows what you feel like when you play bad, or at least your version of bad. So the last thing you want to do is have like a pivotal moment for someone else, even if it's the following day. Like, give me a day to just accept, lick my wounds, drink a little bit, and then move on before you start rubbing it in my face, you know?
Exactly.
That's cool, man. I like that answer. I really like when you said packing up to move to pursue your dreams in golf, because it really is a big transition. But I am curious where you prefer to play golf the most. Is there a state that resonates with you for golf in total?
In terms of like where I'm playing the most right now, again, I'll kind of segment this a little bit. I play Goat Hill all the time. That's kind of my country club, if you will, right now. It doesn't make sense for me to have anything else with the amount of play that I have right now. So going out to Goat once a week or taking Henry to the playground, you know, once a week, that's kind of what we're doing right now. And I love going up there. It's super welcoming to anything, new beginners, new golfers. It's always a great time. But I've been, like I've said, I've been blessed to play a lot of different places. I really enjoy loving going out to Palm Deserts and Palm Desert and Palm Springs. There's something about when you drive down the mountain or you come off the highway, you kind of, it's almost like a reset button that hits and you get so excited. And, you know, if you played out there for a while, you get some nostalgia about some different places as you pass the courses, because you don't know much about the area. You can pretty much get from one side to the other in 45 minutes. And it's pretty much a circle. So just apply that to any direction. But yeah, I always love going out there. You know, I had a great time when we played out at the Hideaway. I think I've actually got that cup sitting right here. At the Granddaddy, that was a fantastic time there. Oh yeah, there it is. You got your Granddaddy G in the back.
Yes, sir. And my background, as he's flexing all of his Granddaddy swag brand new, is the 2016 Granddaddy, where we actually beat Team Callaway. So I hold that. Our records are similar at the Granddaddy for now.
You're undefeated, and so am I.
Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that's a great spot. Yeah. What I like about that area is how visually distracting it can be when you look into the background. Because in Ohio, you just have like trees and then, you know, a house maybe, and then there's nothing. Whereas there, you look down the fairway and like, oh, there's the green and a giant mountain behind it. that messed with my head a couple times when I was out there.
Well, it's crazy too. You know, sunset is typically, you know, if sunset is typically 5 o'clock, it's actually like 4:40 out there because of how big the mountains are. The sun will just immediately drop so much faster on the other side, and you get 15 degrees of temperature really, really quick at the end of the day out there. Again, it's just such a beautiful place. I'm telling you, every time I come down the mountain, because we typically take that trip down, it's a really windy curve for the people that don't know. But it's always fun to like come down and you come into onto 111 and then you're in the desert. It's like, all right, you've made it, you know, you're here. And it always kind of, you know, gives the goosebumps a little bit. We're getting ready to play some great golf for a couple of days. So
nice. I love that. I got one more question for you if you're ready. And this is a tough one. You good?
I'm ready.
All right. So you've been with a couple companies, two of which have been easier to support touring pros, just based on the way contracts being what they are and et cetera. Is there one guy right now that you see on tour at the top of the leaderboard and you get really excited for, like one specific player?
I mean, Rombo's been doing that for me.
Yeah.
He's so much fun to watch. How could you not like watching that guy? He's so excitable. You see the passion come out. He hits it a mile. He hits it pretty straight most of the time. He can putt like nobody's business. It's fun to watch him play. He's not out there like some other guys that are trying to hit it super, super far. He's sticking to his game. I think that's why he's kind of stayed this number one in the world for a while, on top of making himself better through different equipment and through, you know, making sure his swing's tight, you know, at the end of, or at the beginning of the season. It's he's always a ton of fun to watch. I mean, he shot what, 34 under a couple of weeks ago? Who 34 under? Yeah. Even guys that lie in scrambles can't shoot 34 under. You know, I mean, that nobody's going to believe that at the end of the day. So
yeah, that's a good one. I like that Rom has a unique swing, and I've always been a unique swing guy. I love seeing it. So the shorter swingers, I'm fairly long in my backswing. So seeing the guys like Rom and maybe even Finau, guys like that, like for them to put that kind of power and performance out there with that more of a compact profile in the way they swing is just baffling to me. And I'm super jealous.
Yeah. I mean, being a lefty, I grew up watching Phil. So I would say if there's anybody my swing looks like the most, it's probably been him because I just watched so much of it growing up. And Phil's that kind of that longer, a little bit past parallel as well, where I look at Rom and I'm like, how are you generating this much clubhead speed and taking it back what I would call like a quarter, you know, where most people probably call it, you know, a half. Mm-hmm. But he's taking it back about a quarter of the swing. It's insane.
But that's awesome.
He's a ton of fun to watch.
So you guys have a great staff over there. So every week's got to be a thrill to see the product out there. Pretty soon the bags out there, and I'm not envious of any other company with Callaway staffers leading the charge on Sundays. That's for sure.
There's been a lot of work going into that too. I mean, there's a team that's dedicated to working with these players and making sure that we're giving best in class service to them. And that's why people are making their way to us. And it's exciting. It's an exciting time right now for Callaway in terms of tour. I mean, look at what we've done already. You know, we had two majors and a gold medal last year. Pretty cool.
Oh yeah, you did. We loved every minute watching that too. Austin, do you have any questions for me today?
Dan, other than I really want to tell people about our gloves before we
kick off. Let's do it. Yeah.
We've got a really cool lineup coming. Two what I call completely redesigned products. They've the Tour Authentic Glove and the X-Span have been out on the market before, but we've kind of rethought them in a couple of different ways, where with the Tour Authentic, you know, we've created a thinner Cabretta material. And this is the, for those that don't know, this is the glove that you see on Phil's hand, you see on Rahm's hand, you see Sam Burns wearing it, you see Leishman, you see Na, Annika, you know, there's the list goes on in terms of who's wearing our glove. But this is our top of the line $23.99 glove, which is a great price for a tour level glove. But what's really cool is within this thing, underneath the clasp that you open to put it on, we've added some perforations to help with the sweat release for the breathability. It's a fantastic piece. It's got a super secure fit on it. The clasp is a little bit bigger. There's some elastic we've added over the knuckles that keeps it really, really tight on your hand, keeps that feel, because we have reduced that leather depth just a little bit. So really, really good glove to try. Make sure you find it out there. We've got loads of them out in the world now. So it's been a fun one to watch grow up a little bit, and especially from a customization standpoint, but that's more on the account side of things. But you'll see it out there. We have a new UV program where you can get your club's logo right on the front. And you'll see a ton of this out there. We've far overbooked what we thought we were going to.
Wow, so that'll be that's awesome.
At a club near you for sure. And then our other glove, it's our techie piece, right? So this is our X-Span, four-way stretch material on the back, still full Cabretta, which is incredible. So you get the feel of the Cabretta, but the performance of the four-way stretch, the Japanese four-way stretch material on the back. It's like a spandex material, basically. I always think of my father-in-law when I think of this glove, and that's not a bad thing. He's a guy that plays at least once a week, the same standing tee time at the Crossings in Carlsbad, 7:57 a.m., but he never takes his glove off. He always keeps his glove on when he putts and everything. He can get down in his pocket. There's no clasp to stop that. Where if you've tried to get something out of your pocket with a glove with the clasp, you understand that pain a little bit. There's also a ton of technology in this where it stays on your hand. You're not going to lose it. It's not going to move or shift throughout the entire swing. And it's just really comfortable too. It's a super cool techie glove, $19.99 for this piece. If you see it out in the marketplace, go give it a try. You're going to like the comfort in it a lot.
Yeah, I like that you guys considered with the pointer, you maintain that Cabretta profile for durability, I'm sure, based on the friction that's involved there.
Absolutely. And the nice thing too, Dan, is it's fully perfed on the palm as well. So it's just that if you're sweating, or if you play in a place where, let's say you play in Louisiana. I mean, I went to school in Mississippi. It gets hot and muggy there. You want a glove that's going to breathe, it's going to stand up, and it's going to be durable. X-Band's a great option for you in terms of keeping your hand cool, keeping that feel there, and you're not having to go through a ton of gloves, you know, 2 to 3 gloves in a round. So,
well, it sounds like two awesome options, and I'll definitely check them out when I see them. Awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming on, buddy. It's great to talk to you, number one, but also great to have you on here to talk about the products you guys are bringing out at Callaway. It's really exciting to see it.
Dan, it's always a privilege, man. I mean, it's been too long, and shame on you and me both for not
mostly
reconnecting
me. Soon.
We've got to do this more often, and no, it's exciting. I'm truly blessed and privileged to do what I do and get to work in the industry that I love and get to meet great people like yourself and we all know the JB over there. It's been great, and I just hope it continues for me for a long time and for the both of us. It's good to have you on this side as well. You know, I think the first time we met, you were still just getting into the THP side of things, and
now here you are, basically,
charging off course.
Yeah, causing trouble mostly, trying to keep it together on the golf course, and I'll never forget the grief you gave me when I shot 6 strokes better with Talgi than I did with you. So, hey, anyone out there playing golf this weekend, have a great time. Make sure you make it count, because it is, in fact, snowing here. And despite it being 50 next Tuesday, I don't think all that white stuff will be gone. So we'll see you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.